you just tuned into the hippest way to start and grow your indie author career. Learn the ins, the outs, and all the all-arounds of self-publishing with the team from D2D and their industry-influencing guests. You're listening to Self-Publishing Insiders with Draft to Digital.
Well, hello, everybody. According to the little meter here, it says we are at showtime, and we really appreciate you tuning in for another Draft to Digital Ask Us Anything on Self-Publishing Insiders. We have got some really exciting stuff going on today. We just made a big announcement yesterday. Were you there for that? If you didn't see that, we're going to be talking about D2D payment splitting, which is something that people have been asking about like crazy for years, and we're very excited to finally have something that we think is going to be one of the best solutions out there for that. And we got some other stuff we're going to be covering, including we got the Thanksgiving holiday here in the U.S. coming up. We're going to talk about, a little bit about holiday hours and that sort of thing. But please ask us anything, anytime, and we will get right to your questions. But first, let's introduce everybody who's playing today. I'm Kevin Tomlinson, the Director of Marketing and PR for Draft Digital. To my right is...
I'm Mark Leslie Lefebvre. I'm the Director of Business Development with Draft Digital. And to my right is...
Dan Wood, VP of Operations.
Which we're still trying to figure out what that means, VP of Operations. He's got a very steady hand.
I hide and let other people work. It's my MO.
Oh, we already got a comment that I must put on the screen from Craig Price, who says he has the same shirt. So you have good taste,
there's an
Craig.
Extra prize for anyone else out there who has the same shirt I have.
I used to have that shirt. I used to have both. I do have Dan's.
Your luggage when you weren't looking the last time we were traveling together.
Exactly. So yesterday, about midday, we announced something that has been highly anticipated, which is D2D payment splitting. Everyone I know in this space has been asking about a tool like this. There's been all kinds of solutions presented, none of which were quite what anybody really wanted. I really feel like what we've built is exactly what authors have been asking for. And it was quite a challenge to put together. But Dan, what in a nutshell is D2D payment splitting for the authors watching?
Payment splitting takes care of all that hassle you have as an author. Like if you try to put together a collaboration of getting all of the different payment information from the people who are participating, then every month when you get all the different statements from all the different retailers and figuring out how much you owe each and every person, and then sending them the payment in whatever form they want you to pay them in. Draft to Digital handles all that for you. So if they want to be paid by PayPal, we handle PayPal. They want Payoneer, we handle Payoneer. Direct deposit, international wire transfer, we handle everything. So suddenly you can focus on writing instead of having to worry about getting Excel and being a numbers nerd. That part's cool, but like the greatest part of it is the tax part. So yeah. I don't know about y'all, but I hate taxes. I hate figuring out the obscure legal system, and that's just for the U.S. Now imagine trying to figure that out for not only your country, but if you work with a Canadian or if you work with someone from Australia. It's a nightmare, just a nightmare. And so Draft to Digital now has 7 years of experience handling all the different tax systems throughout the world because we work with people just about from everywhere. So putting that to good use with this tool, we handle all that out. We send out all the tax paperwork they might need for their country. Make it easy.
Yeah. And
Kevin. Mark. I was just going to say, as the token Canadian in the troop here, the challenge getting money from U.S. So Draft Digital is a U.S. company, so you're getting paid in U.S. dollars. Getting that money and then it gets translated into Canadian, and every time the banks translate currency conversion, they take a little bit, right? So you lose a little bit. Then I get the money in. I would have to look at all my contributors, do all of those calculations, which the labor and cost involved in that is kind of substantial, at least for creative people who aren't necessarily data nerds. And then when I go to translate back, maybe to pay an American or pay someone in British pound sterling or whatever, I also lose a little bit of money. So there's all these little micro things that you lose money on. And now I've got multiple collaborations because I was lucky enough to be in the beta, and I've got an anthology with 16 collaborators, and I think most of them are in the US. I do have a fellow Canadian in it, but I don't need to worry because D2D takes care of all of that. And all I have to do is, and the other benefit, which is kind of neat, which is kind of rare for me because I do log in directly to some of the platforms, is I can just push a single button and have it published to all the major retailers, all the library systems. And then, of course, with our print beta program right now, I'm just using that for extended distribution to get the print book onto Amazon and Barnes & Noble and all of the other places that carry print books. So I'm ecstatic about this, even for my own personal use and as a non-US citizen, how I can leverage that with Draft to Digital.
Our poor developers, like Mark was bugging them like literally every day for weeks. He was excited about it. Yeah.
I'm really excited about it. I don't have a lot of collaborative co-authors or anything right now. But what I'm involved in some box sets, and suddenly this is a big game changer for the box set crowd, because you can determine individual percentages. So it's depending on how you want to organize this box set. Let's say that one person, the organizer, is going to get, this might be unfair, but maybe they're getting 50%, and then the rest of that, the second 50%, is being split among the contributors. You can set all that up, and it's all automated. The taxes are all taken care of. I think the tax thing alone is probably the best feature of this thing, because I hate dealing with any of that stuff. Let's see. Here we got a question from coming in from YouTube. Golden Angel asks or says, I have never wanted to organize an anthology before because of the money stuff. D2D is doing this is such a game changer. So not a question, but some praise. I'm fine with that. We'll leave that up for a second. This is a game changer. I've seen other programs, other people have attempted to do this, and it's more or less sort of a calculator to help you figure out how you're going to do the split. I don't need that. I got an iPhone, so I can figure that out on my own. But having someone else take care of all of the direct deposits, the taxes, all that stuff, that truly is a game changer.
It's a whole security angle of it too, where you no longer have to worry about like having people give you their personal information, or you as an author taking part in a collaboration, you don't have to give your personal like banking routing information, your personal details to someone just that you may never have met in real life before. You can work with a company that has been handling accounts for people for a while.
I'm going to put this question up here, even though I'm going to confess I don't know what these things mean. So maybe you guys know what this means. Can you explain SUPO versus MUPO, we'll call it, for BNT or library distribution, and how to price for that versus retail channels? You guys know what those two terms mean?
That would be I haven't seen those terms, but I'm pretty sure that refers to single use versus multi-user.
Okay.
And so for a very long time, a single use was kind of the big payment model. So that would be generally through OverDrive, because they are the most well-established and the biggest and most used by library systems. They would buy a single use of your ebook. What that means is that it would show up in their library system. But if I checked it out and Kevin wanted to check it out, he would have to wait till I was done with it. So they treat it like it was a physical copy. They are going to be checking out as long as it's in the library's system. And so you do price higher. Like traditional publishers tend to charge anywhere from $60 to $100 for ebooks. So you are charging a little bit higher. We don't think you should go that high, but you should. You don't want it to be your same at your retail list price. There are new systems that work more like, say, Spotify. So if you're familiar with the way streaming audio works, where there's a couple of library systems. OverDrive has started to accommodate this, but Hoopla is kind of famous for it in the US at least. where you can have your book available to Hoopla. If it goes through their curation process, it shows up in every library that has Hoopla. And if someone checks it out, you get a payment every time someone checks it out. If me having to mark one to read the book at the same time, it's there. We could all read it at the same time. You get a payment for all three. In that case, they pay less. Like, instead of paying like the library price, they're paying a fraction of the retail of the library price because it's available to so many more people. And so the two models are both very good. With Drafted Digital, we set, we have different contracts with different vendors. So the payout for a multiple use is going to vary. You know, if you're curious about what that might be, contact our customer support, because that's going to be the easiest way. But it's kind of set off of what library price you gave to us. And so I personally think that the multiple user model is going to be the way of the future. It's the way we're used to thinking of other media and having it available. No one really likes to try to check out a digital book online and being told that it's not available right now and that they have to wait. And so I think that model will catch on more and more. I would participate in both because they are both have had tremendous growth during the lockdown, you know, around the world.
And sometimes libraries will toggle on and off that the multiple user system because they set a budget for using it. And then if they run out of budget, then they toggle back to the one copy, one user model.
Yeah. We have another question here that is about ISBNs. Says, I've got a question. I'm based in Canada. I got a free ISBN free book. What setting do I need it to set to before I put it in to DDD to publish my ebook? I'm taking that question as, where do we drop in the ISBN? Are
you guys reading it that way? Actually, I think he's talking about the system that this Canadian would be familiar with, but you guys have probably never seen, where we get ISBNs through government in Canada here as one of our supports. So you guys have the right to bear arms. We have the right to bear ISBNs here in Canada. So if you toggle over to Andy's part two of that question, this can explain it a little bit, and I'll go very high level. So this is like the CISS where you get the ISBN, where you're getting a free ISBN. And when you are being assigned an ISBN in Canada, and probably similar in other Commonwealth countries, there's a status that you put. So the question he says is, do I put active, canceled, forthcoming, et cetera? So Andy, when you're going in there, I would usually put forthcoming if it's a pre-order, if it's a forthcoming book. You can always go back and change the status. You can always go back and manage your logbook and edit the book. And so what I usually do for, I do have a few books that are on pre-order right now, including a couple collaborations. I put that in. And I set it with the pub date. And then after the pub date, I switch it over to active. They're not going to chase you down and come after you. Sometimes it's taken me months before I've gone back and updated the status. So I'm hoping that that's the challenge. There isn't going to be any sort of penalization if, you know, Drafted Digital publishes it live and you still have it as forthcoming. That's just for you to manage manually.
They don't have ISBN Mounties up there?
They're secret Mounties, Secret Service Mounties.
ISBN Mounties to kind of let you down if you don't update.
ISBN M. So, yes, okay, well, that's good. That's why we keep a Canadian on staff, so that we know things, the answer to things like that. One of our team was answering, Jennifer, this might help you guys a little. This link is... I can't grab it for some reason. I can't share it on the Facebook side, but we actually have some FAQ about this very topic, and we refer to that. This is why I thought this is what it was, with the one copy, one user idea.
Yeah.
So just so everyone knows what language we speak. So here's a question from Lynn on Facebook. Will we be able to put our collaborative projects in the DDD promotions like we can with our single author titles? That's a good question.
Why wouldn't you? If you're the publisher. You
know, we make the rules. Yes.
if you're the publisher of the title and you have collaborators, so you're the one who's pushing it out and you're sharing with the other authors. Now, if you're going to want to do a discount and 99-cent discount or whatever, it probably makes sense if you've got a relationship with the collaborators to say, hey, the book's regularly X, and regularly your percent would be roughly this every time we sell through regular retail channels. But we're going to make it 99 cents for this, I don't know, Black Friday promo coming up for Thanksgiving. And that means, you know, for a limited time period, our royalties are obviously going to be smaller. But yeah, you could submit to any of those promos because it's just, it's a regular title. The only difference is at the end of the day, instead of that money going to you, the money's going to you as well as your collaborators.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Some of the, some of the retailers are a little bit picky about it. Like not, I wouldn't say all of them will accept the multi-author box sets. If you recall, like a couple of years ago, people were doing hundreds of multi-author box sets to try to hit USA Today bestseller list. And so that kind of put a bad taste in the mouth of a few of the retailers. But I would say for the majority of our promotional opportunities, these would be just as eligible.
Yeah. And we're working on a few things that, that are going to be a little bit retailer independent. So that would be a perfect time to showcase that kind of stuff. Our good friend Marie Long says, asks, how exactly does the tax thing work for payment splitting? Does it take out taxes from royalties, or does it tell each user, hello, person A, you earned $500 in royalties, and it is X dollars in taxes?
So it's going to vary by each person. It varies by what country they're in. Like some countries have a tax treaty with the U.S., very different requirements for each person. So yeah, in the reports, just like your normal reports work, we tell you what we withheld for taxes, if anything. You know, in general, taxes are hard to talk about. We're required for certain countries to go ahead and withhold the taxes up front and then send it on to them. In general, I think for US stuff, we just send it to you and you handle your own tax situation. So it's a situation we've had to account for before. It's very much going to depend on what country you're in, how we have to handle the taxes.
Yeah. It's actually not, it's not all that different with the way the books work now, because that's what happens. The money comes in, the taxes are all handled the way they're handled. It's not going to change. And at the end of the year, you get your, we call them T4s here in Canada, whatever you call them in the US, but I get a special T5 kind of statement or whatever from the US, from U.S. companies that kind of show here were your earnings in 2020 or 2019.
Right.
This is what you were, you know, so then it's between me and the tax man to claim that as income.
Yes. Taxes. All right. That's all I'm going to say on taxes. All right. So Jennifer asks, so then how would you list the prices differently when uploading your ebook for distribution to Drafted Digital for Overdrive versus retail? And the good news on that is we make that really easy. We actually have two different sections where you can set both the retail price and the library price. And on the retail side, you can actually set prices for individual territories as well. So you can have your prices set specifically to a specific number for, say, India, you know, UK, that sort of thing, versus the US. So if you want to adjust prices in individual regions, you can. Once you set the library price, we have at least one retailer or one vendor that once the price is set, it's permanently set. So you may want to do a little research and see what you think the best library price could be, at least for that vendor. But otherwise, you can change that price if you need to with the others. So I think that answered the question. You guys want to throw anything else in before I scroll on to the next?
I think you got it.
All right. So Andy asks another question. I've got access to beta print program, exclamation point. Thank you, Andy. We love having you. And the paperback is on KDP using Amazon's free ISBN. What do I need to do? One, to get my own free Canada ISBN, and two, remove expanded distribution from KDP. I'm guessing the first one at least starts with be a Canadian citizen. But Mark, you can tell
account.
Me.
Yeah, with that with that account, I can probably drop the link in the comments. I'll reply to this on YouTube for you, Andy. So I'm sure you already have an account because it sounded like you knew what it looked like. You just pick paperback, trade paperback as the option. Number two, who would like to explain how you can or cannot remove expanded distribution? Oh, from KDP? Do you mean in KDP?
Yeah, it sounds to me like the book is up on KDP. I will put in like an important thing to know is that right now our system, you wouldn't want to list with our beta print program if you're already up in KDP. They aren't supposed to overlap. And right now we send things to Amazon and to Ingram. We are hoping to break that out where you can choose or, but right now you wouldn't want to overlap them. You would want to take it
at least not
off of KDP entirely if you wanted to use our beta program.
Right. At least not with the same ISBN. You can technically have multiple versions of a print book up, but it just can't have the same ISBN. That would cause all kinds of chaos and anger.
I have one title that was already up on KDP, and when I pushed it through with a different ISBN on through Drafted Digital, because I couldn't opt out, I think what Amazon did is they just found it and hit it, and they're like, yeah, we don't care about you because, you know, nepotism. We care about the one that came from KDP, and who cares about anyone else? So they consciously scrub some of those duplicates out so that they get more margin.
Right, yeah. Yeah, you should know that they're going to promote the copy that makes them the biggest margin. So that may not always work favorably for you, depending on what terms you have. So, okay, so we have a question from Lynn. Can we distribute our collaborative projects to all the usual retailers? Are there any exclusions?
None. Yeah, to all of the usual retailers,
It's a book.
Yeah. And that includes Amazon. We get a lot of questions. We have a lot of questions online about whether or not this included Amazon and payment splitting with Amazon. It does. The only caveat is you have to be distributing to Amazon through us. So if you have your collaborative project on Amazon direct and then use us for others, we can't split that Amazon payment for you. That's the only real caveat there. So the only way to do that is to distribute to all those channels through us. That's where the magic happens. But we don't require any exclusivity. So if you want to go ahead and, you know, maybe you're going to manually handle splitting through Amazon or Kobo or something like that, that's up to you. You can totally do that just like with your own single author books. So it all works exactly the same. WF Johnson asks, are you ready to do paperbacks? How do we buy author copies? Paperbacks.
We're still in beta with it. You can still join the beta signup list, which if someone will link that in the chat, that would be great. We are making our way through. We don't have a lot of people left in the beta. The pandemic has caused the whole print supply chain to be weird, and so we've kept it in beta. We'll probably keep it in beta much longer than we normally would like to, just because everything's chaotic right now. But things are working pretty well. There's a website that we direct you to buy author copies. This makes it really simple, where we help you generate the cover. Like, if you have a digital cover, you can just give that to us and not have to go to your cover designer and get a cover that's got the wraparound and all the specific dimensions for your book. It's out there, the print beta. I think it's just drafteddigital.com/print beta.
We even generate a nifty little 3D icon of your book, your paperback, with a stack of paperbacks behind it. You can context click on that and save it to your hard drive, use it in your ads and stuff if you want. So, bonus. Got another question about DDD print. Is there a playlist to check out for the DDD beta print paperback program? Keen to get on this. So yeah, Andy, I shared that. Let's go back and pop that back up. Drafteddigital.com/print beta will get you to the website where you can sign up to be on the beta. I think one of our staff, so some of our folks have dropped that into the comments, make it a little easier for you to click on, but that's where you start.
Talking about the walkthrough videos, Kevin, that you've produced on our YouTube channel. Yeah,
right. I was just about to say, if you go on over to youtube.com/drafteddigital, I don't have a nifty link for that one. But if you pop over to youtube.com/drafteddigital, we have an entire playlist about DDD print, and it'll walk you through the particulars, how to get started, what to expect, that sort of thing. So. And it's got a lovely narration, so don't fall into like a narcissist thing. Absorb it.
When I read the question, I was thinking like a music playlist.
I think
we need to be cool if we had a music playlist. Got to be on that playlist, right?
like music to listen to while you're setting up your print.
Yes. Okay, so we got several nice comments. Let's see. I'll scroll back through. I see some familiar names in here. What happened was, as soon as I clicked over to do the comment, it bounced me out of the question. So here we go. Does the ISBN show up only when you publish through the service versus stopping short for publishing and downloading the ebook files?
Yes.
Yeah, we don't do anything with the ISBN until we send it on.
Right.
Because
yeah,
we have to
once we distribute. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, I think, and that's referring to, like, we'll give you a free ISBN on both print and ebook, but it doesn't necessarily exist until you actually publish, so you don't have to worry about it in advance.
I think Tori's probably talking about maybe putting the ISBN on the copyright page or something like that, and wanting to have that before it gets published. But I'm guessing that's what he's looking at.
Right.
But it's not assigned until it's published.
Margaret Daly asks, if I have a free first in series published through D&D with Apple iBooks, how do I go about getting my book listed in the free first in series tab on Apple Books?
I got the answer for that. So
suddenly everybody's listening.
Yes. Well, this is, you had the links last time for where people could go to. There was that a handy place where there was the different forms. So if you have a perma-free, you can let us know. If not, email support at draft2digital.com. Ask for the link for the form. Fill out the form. And what happens is Kara's going through the form, pulling these details, promotions, free books. And we're nominating these titles on a monthly basis when we talk to Apple, when we talk to Kobo, when we talk to some of the other retailers that we're trying to get promos for. And we will recommend that they include it. Now, it's always up to their merchandisers whether they pick it. But so, Margaret, if we're not able to drop the link here in the comments, please email support at draft2digital.com and they can email you the link to the form where you can let us know about your perma-free titles. And please do that. You, Margaret, or anyone else who has perma-frees, because I know Kara's working really hard on some really sexy promotions, and we're constantly, like, sales reps. We're naggy sales reps. We're really trying to get as many spaces as we can for our authors, as well as some other really exciting features that we're working on for the future.
I am dropping.
I will say, just real quick on that question, free first in series, they're 99% won't take it unless you have about three books or more. So, like, if you just have a first book in the series, but you haven't finished a second book, you should wait. If you don't have three books, then they're not likely to pick it. They are particular about the spiciness of the cover. And so, just so you know, if you've got a whole lot of man chest going on the cover, if you have a lot of gore, like if it's a horror title, they are particular about that at Apple. But other than that, they feature probably more indie titles than any other retailer I know. Like, Apple's been so indie friendly for people.
Yeah. Yeah, they've been very good about promoting, especially the first in series. They really like that. They've had a lot of success with that. The clamping down on Manchest is a little odd. You know, I get rejected for my author photo all the time. I did drop into the comments a list of links to go sign up for the various forms. And there is a description of specifically what that form is for. So don't go trying to add things that don't fit that form. So if you've got a first free in series, it goes on that form. There's a whole list of them there. So grab those from the comments, bookmark those. We are happy to have you go check those out. We got another question from Golden Angel asking, will we be able to do free box sets, or do they have to be a paid set? Obviously, the dollars wouldn't be a problem for the free one, but so that the box set could be connected to each collaborator's name. I believe we can do that for everyone but Amazon.
Yeah, because Amazon won't accept zero. And of course, you'll get, you can put in whatever percentage you want. You can give one of the authors like 99% or 100%, and 100% of zero is still, I can't do the math, guys.
Yeah. Like Mark said, just to be specific about it, Amazon doesn't allow people to send free as an option, but they frequently will go ahead and price match if it's free everywhere else. We can't guarantee that they're going to price match the free, but
right.
Good odds they will if you have it free everywhere else.
At least they'll price match in the UK and the US. They rarely price match in Canada because they don't really care about this small market here.
Yeah, yeah. Just be very polite when you reach out to them, because they'll be the first. They are the first ones to tell you that they're not obligated to price match, so they don't get irate. I've had a great deal of success with just emailing them and saying, "Hey, I would really love it if you could help me out with this." They come back saying, "We don't guarantee this, so don't count on it." But we went ahead and did it. Just be very nice.
The other caveat is library systems. They don't have a way to do free, and so the library systems, it would have a price of whatever the lowest value we can send that retailer or that library retailer, which is generally, I think, 99 cents. So,
I recommend against setting a free library price anyway. It's not going to help you out any. It doesn't make the book more attractive necessarily to librarians. In fact, maybe seen as a sort of red flag, almost a way to quickly quality check. So setting a decent, a standard library price is a good policy. Golden Angel had a follow-up. Will D2D send the, quote, new release announcement to all the collaborators, followers for box sets, or just the organizer? That's a very good question.
I think we're going to have to follow up on that one, because I'm not positive that we – I feel like it would send it to everyone, but I'm not positive about that. Yeah. So.
Yeah,
I want to look into that. So when I set up Obsessions and I had 16 contributors, would it have sent notifications for any of those authors who had followers? That's a great question. We should definitely get the answer.
I would say that it should, but I don't know the answer. So – to our DDD folks listening, if anybody can go and ask people who would know and pop in and let us know, we would appreciate it. Let's see. Books. Okay. A lot of these are follow-up comments. Here's another one from Golden Angel. Is it or will it be possible to do a box set through DDD to Amazon and have it on Kindle Unlimited? And I can tell you right away, the answer to that is no. You can put your box set on Kindle Unlimited, but the very nature of KU is exclusivity. So once you put it on Kindle Unlimited directly via Amazon, you won't be able to distribute that book elsewhere for 90 days. So that's not going to be an option unless Amazon just radically changes the way they do things. And we know how quick they are to do that. I think we're kind of popping, getting down to the last of our current questions. That one disappeared on me. Here's one from Charles Harvey. Hello, I tuned in late. Has B&N caught up with their payments, and also are there issues with submitting books to them?
So they haven't been behind on payments. Payments have been functioning on time. The sales reporting, though, so sales are happening. They're just way behind on reporting them. You know, we have, for all of the major retailers, we get daily estimates. Like, they let us know, here's how your book did. They are estimates because they don't include, like, if someone returns later, every once in a while, they'll just have a bug in their system. So, like, the final numbers that we get from the retailers are the ones that are, like, the real specific numbers. So it's just the estimates that are affected right now by the problem they're having. We're still behind on those. I think maybe a week and a half behind, maybe 2 weeks behind on the estimates from them. But they are getting, like, the actual accounting numbers because they have to have those. There was a period in October after they were hacked where there's about a 4 or 5 day period where there were no sales because their system was literally offline and they weren't able to sell anything on the Nook website. So payment wise, you don't have to worry about getting the payment. It's just that we don't have the sales estimates right now. It should be very close. And then as soon as they give us the numbers, we will backfill in all of the numbers. Every once in a while, like, they might not be specifically tied to a day. So I can't say that they're going to tell you exactly how many you sold last Tuesday. They might give us like a lump sum. But it'll be like the number that was sold during the period. On submitting books, nearly everything is working correctly. We're still having to go back in and resubmit some stuff and work with them on a few issues. Descriptions are taking a long time, and so your book might show up as live on their website, but not show the description yet. Or if you are trying to make a change to your description, that might still be delayed. They use a manual process for vetting descriptions to make sure you didn't put anything crazy in there. And so because it wasn't working at all for a couple of weeks, they're way backed up.
Yeah.
The other thing you should, if you're worried about it being several weeks for not seeing your Barnes & Noble sales, just think how much better you still have it over traditionally published authors who maybe get a royalty statement once a year.
So, right.
I'm an optimist. Exactly. I look at the glasses half full of Canadian beer.
The emphasis on maybe.
We definitely fight for those estimates and try to get, like, even for the retailers right now that aren't giving us daily estimates, we're always asking because it makes it so much easier to do your marketing. Like, if you can see, I did this ad yesterday and my income went up, you know, double, then you're going to put more money into that ad. And likewise, if you did an ad and it did nothing, then you're going to be like, nope, done with that one. So, this is something that's very important to us. At the same time, like, there's nothing we can do to get Barnes & Noble to get this done faster. Like, they are going over everything with a fine-tooth comb because they don't ever want to have a security issue like this again. And so we applaud the effort and the what they're doing to ensure the future security, but it is frustrating right now to have to wait.
Yeah. But for having come through such a rough year, I think Barnes & Noble is doing a pretty admirable job of, you know, patching things, fixing things, making sure that, you know, mistakes and things that happened don't happen again. So that's pretty encouraging. So we got a question from Tori. Oh, okay. I have a question from Tori, but it won't pop up. So I guess I lost that one.
Tori's question looks just like Charles's question too. It's amazing.
I know, and he's got the same look and everything. I'll just ask the question. It says, "Okay, when adding an author to the file, I noticed that with two authors, the about the author page is singular. Can you make an option for about the author plural? And I'll work on getting this thing back online."
Right now, that's not built-in functionality because it's based on the existing code. Now, Tori, just to let you know, one of the ways that I've compensated for that is I've exported the EPUB that DDD creates and does all that really handy, awesome stuff at the back end. And what I've done is I've used Sigil, S-I-G-I-L. Maybe I'm not pronouncing that properly, but you can Google that. I use that to then edit the EPUB file. And I've added in my other contributors. I know it's a manual step, but I already do that anyways for all my books because I take that really awesome other books by and I use a similar page where I add all of my traditionally published books that aren't going to be added by draft to digital. So for me, it's not that big a deal because I'm already manually doing that step. But right now, that's a way you can work around it if you're looking for a workaround. And I'm sure we can take that back to design and dev and see how would this function, how would the author request it, and that obviously is a whole bunch of work. So thanks for asking the question, because that's how we continue to build and grow.
Sean Young asks, sorry if this has been covered, but will projects and payment splits show in My Books area, so on the My Books page on the Draft Digital Author dashboard?
Actually, Sean, you and I are collaborating on a book. You're one of my collaborators. I recognize you. Do you see the anthology that you're in on your dashboard? I see it on my dashboard as the publisher, but I think once it's live, and it's not going live until the 24th of November, the sales will definitely show up in your reporting. But do they, Alyssa's saying that they do show up in your My Books dashboard, but it was like, so Sean, tell me, do you see that anthology showing up in your dashboard?
Yeah, if you're not,
I haven't had a collaboration where someone else set it up.
If you're not, like, Kevin, seeing it,
do you see our collaboration in your dashboard?
I have to confess, I haven't checked. So I'll have to look. Why didn't I ever check on that?
Yeah, I know. We looked at all kinds of things, but I've never. I mean, I only set things up. I never received. Great question.
I'm not seeing it on my dashboard. So I'll have to check with the support as well. So we didn't say there was never going to be an issue. Okay, guys. So every now and then we got to fix a bug here and there. And that may not be, I don't know. So Tom Ray asked, will there be another Atlantis Stories promotion in the next 6 months? I'm rolling out 2 books by February and need all the collaboration promotion I can get as I've switched genres. I mean, we have promotions. We're constantly kind of filtering through some promotions with the retailers. So there's every possibility there might be an opportunity for you to get into one of those. If you scroll back through the comments, I dropped in a whole bunch of links for getting, for clicking through and getting your book set up in case there is a promotion. So go back and take a look at those and use the one that's appropriate for that. And you'll get an email eventually if something comes up. So we can't ever guarantee that every single person who signs up gets a promotion. Some of these are limited in number. Apple may come along and say we need 3 authors for this or 10 authors for that. So, but we do try to cycle through those and get as many promotions for our authors as we can get. So,
and retailers tend not to get that specific. Like it generally wouldn't be like Atlanta Stories being a promotion.
Right.
They tend to be like seasonal, like summer reads.
Right.
Yeah, holiday like reads,
fantasy or romance or historical. Like they would be specific, but not necessarily have a theme to them. I did get Apple to run a zombie promotion once, so I was pretty proud of that. But those are pretty rare. But like Kevin mentioned, we've got links to get into all the general promotions, and they're great to get into.
Can I I saw Sean commented that the titles do not show up on your dashboard. And I think Alyssa made that comment as well. They only show up on the publisher, but they will show up in your sales. And I've made a note to explore how collaborative titles that you're not publishing should show up, because there's obviously going to be a little bit different. You can't edit them, et cetera. So that's a whole design thing. Alyssa, I'll be chatting with you about how we're going to figure that one out.
I believe they show up in the reports when you.
Oh, the reports for sure. So, yes,
but
yeah.
But beyond that, I don't know. So we will have to look deeper into that. So, Margaret Daly asks, "I've been wanting to promote with Kobo, but I've been told I would have to publish direct instead of from D2D. Any plans to connect with Kobo for promotions?"
They like to promote only their own authors that publish direct through Kobo Writing Life. They have a promotions tab built right into that platform. But we do actually have Kobo promos. We've actually run about 6 Kobo promos in the last 6 months. Not as many as they offer to their direct authors. But I know right now, I believe Caro is working on, and there will be a link, Margaret. So in that URL that Kevin shared with the links to different promotion opportunities, probably within the next 4 or 5 days, there will be another link to another Kobo promo. If you have some titles with D2D, you can use that for those. If you have others published directly to Kobo through Kobo Writing Life, then you go directly to them for those, if that helps. We try to get as many as we can to help the authors, but we try to collaborate and play and help.
They have a few promotional pages that Kobo Writing Life just controls, and so that's where they have those to offer. With our books, to get promoted, though, you're alongside traditional publishers, and so possibly more visibility with those types of promotions because they are aimed at the general reading market and not specific to people that are looking for indie titles. Unfortunately, there's just not as many offered through them. We keep bringing that up with them because it doesn't really make sense for us to be competing in that way. Like, it doesn't make sense to favor authors to direct to them. Like, just doesn't make any sense. They don't treat any other publisher like that. And so, we let them know that we want to give our authors as many opportunities as everyone else.
Yeah. We're kind of getting close to the end, so we may only have time for 1 or 2 more questions. Craig, pardon me. Craig asks, any chance you'll ever integrate specific platform ads into your promotions, like Amazon ads, the way I have heard Publish Drive does?
So,
see,
Amazon is
Publish Drive.
Yeah, Amazon's really the only retailer that has specific platform ads that I know of that work. I think Barnes & Noble had something, but nearly no one found it usable or profitable. Apple does not offer paid ads for like anywhere in their platform for books. And so I'm not saying we would never do it. Like, would love to do Amazon. With Amazon, they restrict it currently to Amazon ads can only be run if you're going direct. I can't now speak to what PublishDrive is doing. Like, it doesn't really make sense what the way the wording I've read on a page. But it just all of the functionality for Amazon ads is built into individual accounts that are listing the product. And so I can't imagine without Amazon changing their mind, and we hope they do, that we'd be able to add them.
You can run BookBub ads to these things, though. So you've got pretty good control over that and where that lands. We've had some authors actually run ads directly to like our D2D book tabs, which are the sort of product page for the books. So if you had a collaboration or box set and you wanted to advertise it that way, you could. Facebook ad can be targeted to that. We actually let you embed your Facebook pixel. So you can actually use that for tracking purposes on Facebook. So outside of Amazon, there are quite a few ways for you to go ahead and advertise and promote those books. So we are a little past time, and there's still some questions in the comments. I'm sorry we couldn't get to quite everything, but we're going to go ahead and have to wrap up. And we'll try to pop in there and answer some things directly, too. I think Alyssa's been doing a pretty good job of monitoring and answering some of that. So thank you, Alyssa. She makes us look good. So, but I think that's going to wrap us up. We did mention that we were going to talk about holiday hours. So we do have the U.S. Thanksgiving holiday is coming up next. Is it still Thursday? I never know anymore how things work. How does our Thanksgiving work, Dan?
So Thursday and Friday, our offices will be closed. So like if you're used to being able to call us on a Thursday or Friday, you're not going to get through. We do have some people that are going to be checking and trying to keep things running as much as possible. So, you know, like modifications like price changes, that should all work. But it's much better to try to get it in before the holiday because while we might get the work done on our end, the retailers also take off. And so if there is a problem outside of like the normal automations, we literally cannot get anything done for you until the following Monday. And so, try to get anything you need in as early as possible, Wednesday of next week at the latest. Anything else might be delayed until that following week. Probably won't hear from us if you email us with a question Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday of next week. We're letting our people stay home and hopefully enjoy what holiday they can, even though we can't all travel this time around. So.
But we will all be back in our respective offices, physical, virtual, or otherwise, on the 30th, Monday the 30th. So if you do have questions, if you can hold out until then, that would be best. So otherwise,
I guess we could send everyone to Mark since he's Canadian, doesn't have anything to be thankful.
Mark's Canadian.
I'll be working that day, those 2 days
he's
anyway.
Got no holiday, so.
I just don't know all the answers that the awesome customer service team does. So I'll probably go, I have to check with a smarter person who's back on Monday.
The answer is always email support@draftdigital.com. All right, guys. This has been a really good chat with everybody. Lots of questions, lots of viewers. So thank you so much for tuning in to Self-Publishing Insiders with Draft Digital. We're thrilled to have you here. And of course, if you would like to see more of this kind of stuff, you might want to go over and bookmark d2dlive.com. That's where you'll see a countdown for the very next episode whenever we interview someone. We're probably going to be a little light on interviews and things through the holiday season just because it's, you know, we want to respect everybody's time with their family and that sort of thing. But feel free to go over and bookmark that page. You can also follow us on your youtube.com/draftdigital and facebook.com/draftdigital. Where whenever we post some of these things, you'll usually get some kind of alert. If you're on YouTube, make sure you hit subscribe and the little bell icon so that you can be alerted every time we have one of these things. And then pop in and ask all the questions you want for free. So, All right, guys. Thank you for joining me and the crowd here. Thank you, everyone else, for being a part of this Ask Us Anything. We hope you have a very safe, if you're in the U.S., a very safe Thanksgiving holiday. And if you're outside the U.S., a very safe day next week. So take care of yourselves.
Bye.
That's it for this week's Self-Publishing Insiders with Draft to Digital. Be sure to subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts and share the show with your will-be author friends. And start, build, and grow your own self-publishing career right now at DraftToDigital.com.